Of the Lord this morning. How many of you enjoyed church here last night? Do you appreciate the word of the Lord? Just so wonderful. Amen. Just the presence of the Lord and His precious word. And well, we're here to do it all over again. Shake hands with somebody. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord this morning. What a privilege it is to be in the house of God. Place some more of that, brethren, if you will. Bless you, Brother Bird. Appreciate you. I bless you, Brother Samuel. Love you, buddy. Appreciate you. God, God bless you. God bless you all. Play the song. Let's sing that one more time, if you will. It's because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all my fear, it's gone. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated just for a minute while we look at our prayer request. Brother Lance, if you'd get ready this morning to lead us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these prayer requests. First of all, Sister Gianna Glenn and her family says that to all my brothers and sisters in Christ, on behalf of myself and my family, thank you so very much for your love, your cards, flowers, most of all for your prayers and support in the last month because of my mother's passing away and having to be gone 3 weeks to deal with many family affairs is all deeply appreciated and really made a difference. It's been a great comfort and support during this time. I love you all. Thank you so much. May God richly bless you all, Sister Deanna Glenn and family. Well, we appreciate the Glenn family too, don't we? Amen. Brother Brandon Green says his grandfather had shoulder surgery. Please pray for his recovery. Also, his father is very sick with lung problems and needs prayer. My great uncle got a better report about the cancer that he is battling. Praise the Lord. We're believing for a complete recovery. So we praise the Lord for that testimony. Just commit those needs unto the Lord. Brother Joel Moyer says, asking the church to continue to keep my wife in your prayers. She still needs a healing touch in her body. She has been having a hard time keeping food and water down. She's lost 30 pounds since the surgery. Pray for God's healing touch. And I may return to work. God bless Brother Joel Moyer. So we just commit that need unto the Lord. Please remember Tim Coleman's grandson. This is Elmer Adkins' neighbor. So let's remember those folks in prayer as we pray today. Sister Eastep says a friend of the family has congestive heart failure. Also pray for his soul. So let's remember those needs as we pray. Brother Gary Harris says, please remember our neighbor John in prayer. He's in the hospital. He is having his foot amputated. So let's pray for that need today. As we pray, I want to pray for Robbie Dixon. Had a high fever since Thursday. Sister Sherry Wiggins sends that in. Certainly appreciate God answering prayers. Just want to continue. I was just thinking this morning about Sister Sharon Ward. Just want to continue to hold her in our prayers. And haven't heard anything recently about Sister Connie Spencer, but we certainly want to pray that the Lord would be mindful of her situation. Also, Brother Fred Mullins, I guess he's maybe out of the hospital by now. Just pray for his recovery. The Lord would be mindful of him. Sister Carol Reagan, God bless you. So glad you're able to be back in the house of the Lord with us. Appreciate our pastor's wife, don't we? Amen. And this announcement, Sister Brenda Harmon says, we're glad to have Jerry, Wendy, and little Jerry Barnett in service today. Where will those folks be? Would you just raise your hand wherever you're at, right here? Give those folks a nice hand this morning. And if you're a visitor today, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let's stand to our feet this morning. We're going to sing a song. Are you ready to sing? Yes. But we're going to have Brother Lance come pray first. Brother Lance, where are you at? Come and pray over these requests. We're getting ready to worship the Lord. Are you glad to be in the house of God today? Amen. Certainly appreciate Brother Lance Parker, don't we? Amen. God bless you, brother. We appreciate you.
Lord Jesus, how we love you so much today on this resurrection morning. I thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice that you made for our sins. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the power that rose you back up again on that third day. Dear Lord, I thank you for the revelation of the resurrection. I know there's people all over America, all over the world today on there celebrating their Easters, and they don't really understand. They know the concept, what's in the Bible. But thank you for showing us your resurrected life. You actually allow us to see who you are. And on the basis of that, you allow us to reach out and touch you when we have needs, when we have things in our life that we need help with. We always have one person to go to, the one that resurrected that day many years ago, who's still alive, who still loves us. We thank you for it, Lord. Now we turn to you just now on behalf of these requests. You see each one of them, Lord. Everyone in their own way needs your will to be worked out in their life. If there's a decision to be made, I pray you would help them to make the right decision to follow what's been right in your will. Lord, if there's a deliverance that needs done, I pray for deliverance. Lord Jesus, where the healing needs to come, let the healing continue, because you're the only one that can do it, and only you know. So we just pray now you work it all out in your will and let your will be done. We pray the remainder of this service that you just have your way, Lord Jesus. We ask it all in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. I just had a little friendly discussion with my pastor, and he put me in my place. He's real good at doing that, you know. Praise the Lord. We appreciate God today, don't we? It's good to see each and every one of you in the house of the Lord this morning. Turn around and look at somebody. It's just good to see him in the house of God, isn't it? It's really just good to see each and every one of you in the house of the Lord. So glad you're here today. We've come to worship the Lord. This is a glorious occasion celebrated by people around the world. But I believe the bride can celebrate it not just one day a year, but every day of our life. He is a resurrected, living Lord Jesus Christ. Give him a hand clap of praise if you love him with all your heart. Thank you, buddy.
There's a light in
the
window.
Ushers, if you'd like to come.
The table spread in splendor. Someone standing by an open door. I can see it crystal clear.
Oh, yes, we can.
Lord, I must be near forever. And I've never been this homesick before.
Oh, see the bright light shine.
It's just about home.
Still power in the name of Jesus. Let's sing a little bit of this song just before we change the order of the service. There's still power in the name of Jesus. Amen. Brother Caleb Adkins got a song for us this morning. If you'd come onto the platform, Brother Harry's going to sing a song that a lot of us have requested that he do it, and I believe it'll be a blessing to all of you. But let's sing this. There's still power in the name of Jesus. He died, but he didn't stay dead. Aren't you glad about that? Praise the Lord. There's still power. in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, sing it now. Oh, to break every chain, 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 break every chain. There's an army. Sing it, church. There's an army. See the chains,
and I can see those chains are falling.
Oh, yes, we can.
I can see those chains are falling.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I can see.
Yes, we
those
can.
Those chains are falling.
He'll break every chain.
Break every chain.
Yes, he can. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning as you're seated. Brother Caleb, God bless you.
As I look back on this road I've traveled, I've seen so many times how you've carried me through. And if there's one thing I've learned in my life, my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything He has said, He will do. Every morning His mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. My heart rejoices when I read His promise. There is a place that I'm preparing for you. And I know I'll see my Lord face to face, 'cause my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything He has said, He will do. Every morning His mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. And in every situation, Lord, You prove Your love for me. When I lack the understanding, you give more grace to me, my Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said he will do. And every morning your mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is so faithful and true.
Girls are not up, Lance? Well, actually, four little girls called me and wanted me to sing this song. Since they're not here, let me kill just a minute. Maybe they'll get up. How many is glad he's alive? Do you know he's alive? The world tells us that religion is just for the weak. And the weak-minded, they need something to, whatever. We're not smart enough, I guess, to do everything on our own, so we need something like a religion or something. But I'm glad that I know my God is alive. How many in here at one time was a sinner, loved sin and the things of the world, and all of a sudden something got a hold of you and made you a new person? All right. How many in here was diagnosed by a doctor or had some kind of sickness? The doctor said, well, you never get over that unless you have an operation, or unless you come let me cut on you or something, you'll have that sickness and it'll kill you, or you'll have it until you die. And then something happened and today you're just fine. You're still alive. The doctor didn't cut on you. He's alive. I'm glad he's alive. I'm glad I know that Jesus, though he died to save me from sin, but he's alive today. Gates and doors were barred, and all the windows fastened down. Spent the night in sleeplessness, rose at every sound. Half in hopeless sorrow, half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. Well, just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gates began to rattle, and a voice began to call. I hurried to the windows, looked down into the streets, expecting swords and torches, and the sound of soldiers' feet. There was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they moved him in the night, and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden. Then John ran on ahead. He found the stone and the empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they'd wrapped him in was just an empty shell.
How or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Well, something strange had happened there, just what I did not know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high. 'Cause I'd seen them crucify him, and I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. And everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. But suddenly the air was filled with strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere, those shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. I fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. Then he raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love came shining out from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt to my confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace. He's alive!
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. And he's not just alive on Easter Sunday. Praise the Lord Jesus. I love what Jesus said. Because I live, you can also live. No matter how difficult your life is and what that it holds today. Because that day our Lord Jesus raised from the dead. No matter what you and I face, we can face it by His grace and His help. Aren't you glad? This is not an empty promise made by the founder of some religion years ago that it's just another one of the religions. This is not just another one of the religions. This one has life, healing, peace, and power. Let's sing together. We're going to invite Brother Darrell to come. Trust you've come today to receive something from the Lord. The Lord really used our brother last night. We so enjoyed the service. Just looking forward to see what the Lord's got for us today. Let's sing together. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Are you happy that He lives?
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, my fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future and the living just because.
Let's sing it again. Thank God.
Because He
privilege we've been given to serve not a God of imagination or a God of stone or a God of wood, but to serve a living God who keeps the promises of His Word. The things that He said He would do, He will do those things, giving us the confidence in whom we have believed, that we who was alienated, no way back on our own, no way back to help ourselves, yet He came and reconciled us back to the Father to bring us back into fellowship.
Amen.
What a privilege it is, friends. Yes. Brother Brennan said, don't it make you just want to go over in the corner and sit down and cry when you think that something, somebody's so great.
Yes.
You know, I was reading about the Hubble telescope, and it was headed towards the sun, and it turned back and they started taking a series of images. And one of the images they caught in the light of the universe, just like a speck of dust. And they called that speck of dust the pale blue dot. And what that speck of dust was hanging out in the vastness of the universe, it was Earth. Just a little old insignificant piece of dust hanging in the universe. And yet when God inspired Moses to write the Word, God said, tell Moses in the beginning, I created the heavens, the stars, and thousands upon thousands of 10,000s of galaxies. And the Bible says He knows every star by name. He said, tell Moses, I created all that. But also let him know that I made Earth. That little speck of dust there. And on that little speck of dust called Earth, there was a little hill called Calvary. And on that little hill called Calvary, the God that created all of it paid the price that even a smaller speck of dust named Daryl could be redeemed. Isn't that wonderful today? Praise God. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with us to the book of Psalms. We greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. We count it an honor to be with you. Certainly enjoyed that song Brother Harry sings. That's one of my favorites. I told Brother Louis back there, I said, he's tore me up. Amen. I like that song. He's alive. Amen. Oh my. So we want to read this morning from Psalms chapter 22, verse 11. And also we want to read from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. We want to read now from Psalms 22, verse 11. Appreciate each one coming out this morning, and may the Lord bless you richly, bear a prayer. The Bible says this, be not far from me, for trouble is near. There is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gape upon me with their mouths as a raven and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint.
Yes, yes.
My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength, but haste thee to help me. Hebrews 12:22. The Bible says this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Let us bow our heads. I want to speak to you for a few minutes this morning on the drink offering. Oh Lord, we bow in your great presence today. And from the depths of our hearts, Lord, we offer thanks to you. Lord, without you today, where would we be? We thank you, Lord, that you have kept your word and have done those things that you said you would do to reconcile us back to yourself. That we who were once alienated from you has now been reconciled, Lord. How we thank you for that. Lord, we are so glad today that other religious leaders of the world, they point to a tomb that has bones in it. But I am so glad today that our tomb is empty, for you are alive, Lord. You have conquered both death, hell, and the grave. Lord, have secured a place at your table that we may fellowship with you. Lord, may we come today in your presence, and may your anointing come upon us, Lord. And may we become, Lord, caught up into that moment of time that it would become so real, Lord, that we would cry out from the depths of our souls that you are our healer, you are our redeemer and our savior and our keeper, Lord. Father, may it break forth upon us today the power of the resurrection, Lord, that the weak would be made strong, the sick would be healed, Lord, those that would be locked in the chains of the enemy, but be released today, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we just ask today that you would receive honor and glory unto yourself, that when we leave the buildings today, may we say, did not our hearts burn within us as you walked with us along the way? Thank you, Lord, for Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for the resurrection. Thank you from the depths of our hearts, Lord, for saving me. I humbly ask these things in Jesus' name. And the bride says, amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. Now in Hebrews 12, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And now God is saying here to look unto me, for I am God and there is none other. You know, and I wonder in a time that we are living in right now, I wonder where better place could we look than to him? For he is the word. What could we look to this morning that would be more solid than the word of God? For every answer that you have need of today, every desire that you have need of, everything we have need of today is found within the pages of God's holy word. Amen. You know, we've just come into the year of 2016, and they called this year, at the start of the new year, they called 2016 the year of uncertainty. When people are just not sure anymore. People are nervous. They're afraid to go to the airport. They're afraid to go to the mall. They're afraid to do this. It's such a time of uncertainty. But I am so glad that in this time of 2016, that the world is saying there's such uncertainty, that I am gathered with the people this morning who is very certain in what we believe. We are certain of our God. We are certain of His Word. We are certain of the promise. Come on, somebody. We are certain that what God said, God will keep. God will do. He will do exactly what He said He would do. I have this confidence this morning. My ability may fail. My intellect may fail. My emotions may fail. But the Word of God will never fail me. Amen. He will do what He said He would do. Amen. What did He do that day? He embraced the cross. And on that cross, He died for you. He died for me. He died for the world that He may restore back again to God. Now, I want you to notice, He did not die to make us sons and daughters of God. He died to restore us back to our rightful position as a son and daughter of God. That's what Calvary meant to us. It wasn't, well, I'll go up there, maybe somebody will feel sorry for me. Maybe some, no. He went with one thing in mind. That was you. But you've got to believe that this morning. It'll do you no good until you can believe that it was me that He died for. If you was the only one sick, the only one lost, the only one in need, He would have went there for you. That's how much He loves us. That's how much He cares. But it'll do us no good if we don't receive that. If we don't believe that. If we don't become a part of that. We must accept that upon the basis of His Word. That He come to restore me back to my rightful position as a son and daughter of God. He never died to make us sons. Is this all right? He never died to make us sons. He died to restore us back to our position as a son. If the people could only see that. If the prophet said, if I could only pound that into the people. That Jesus died. That He might take the people away from a hybrid faith. Hybrid church stuff. That's the problem with so many. They still mix hybrid church stuff with the true Word of God. And they try to bring forth some man's ideal or some man's thinking or some denominational view. But Jesus never died to give us a denominational view. He never died to give us a hybrid faith. But He died to secure in us a faith and back to the Word of God that we may anchor ourselves on that Word. Amen. He died so He could take us away from the things that man says about us. Come on, friends. He didn't die. He died to come and take us away from the things that men try to pump into us. Some kind of religious ideal or some kind of religious view that was based on some kind of doctrine from somebody. But He come to peel all that back. He come to move all that aside. He come to alleviate all that stuff and bring it down to the reality and the basis of the Word. Everything's based upon the Word. Our emotions will lie to us. Our feelings will lie to us. But the Word of God will never lie to us. So He come to establish this one principle back to the very basics of the Word. I don't know. You know, yeah, He died and yeah, He rose again. But I don't know if He can help me. Hybrid faith. Come on, friends. We talk about a resurrected Lord Jesus. If He rose, He can do anything. If He can rose from the dead, He can open blinded eyes. If He rose from the dead, He can restore a marriage. If He done one thing, He can do all things. Yeah, He died and He did a great thing, but I don't know if He can help me. My problem's great. Your problem ain't greater than death. And He conquered death, hell, and the grave. If He conquered death, hell, and the grave, cannot He conquer every grave, every tomb, every stone that's rolled up into your life? Amen. But we get some kind of hybrid faith. Well, I don't know. Woe's he me. And He never died that we would have weak faith. He never went to Calvary. He never suffered like this. So that our faith would be so weak we couldn't get to church but once or twice a week. I don't believe that this morning. He didn't die that our faith would be weak. He didn't die that we would have a hybrid faith. He didn't die, well, I'll see if it'll work out or not. Well, I'll try and see if it happens or not. No, sir, that's not what he died for. But he went to Calvary to secure to us this establishment of the word that God will keep his word. I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. I will deliver you. I will restore you. I will redeem you. I will rapture you. I will keep you. Amen. In the center of my will. Yes, sir. Those are the things that God said he would do in the word. And Christ came to prove that God would keep his word. He said, I'll heal you. He sent a healer. He said, I'll deliver you. He sent a deliverer. He said, I'll give you Elijah. Did he do it? Did he send Elijah? He said he would. And he did it because he said he would do it. That we can have this confidence this morning that if God said he'd send Elijah and he sent him, if God said he'd send a healer and he sent him, if God said he'd do these things, that same God also said he would rapture us and change our bodies. Amen. Oh my, to bring us back to what God said, to simply take what God said. Yeah, now I know God said that, but there ain't no buts about it. Goat's butt. That's right. Lambs to say, amen. Now go with me just for a few minutes this morning. Let's take a little trip in our minds. I ain't no kind of preacher, so if you come to hear a preacher, you're sure disappointed. But I just want to just kind of bring it this, if I can this morning, the Lord will just help me. But I just want to go in our minds just for a few minutes. Take a little trip with me this morning. We find ourselves in a garden. And as we begin to look around, we notice there's three men laying under a tree, sleeping. And so as we begin to assess the garden and kind of see, because we've just arrived here, so we're looking around to kind of see what we're experiencing. And we notice three men are under a tree. And then we hear a commotion just about a stone's throw away. It was as though this person needed to be alone, and yet they didn't want to be alone. So they go just far enough. I thought it was how the Bible said, just a stone's throw. Not 700 yards, not a half a mile, but just enough that he could still be near them. Amen. And as we make our way over to the garden, we hear a voice. The voice is trembling. He is in agony. We can hear by the tone of his voice, he's afraid. You say, Jesus? And you're talking about Jesus? Yes. For we have stepped into his prayer closet. You say, Jesus was afraid? Are you sure? The Bible says, Hebrews 5:7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Amen. He's sweating. You know, it's custom that Jews, they would stand when they pray. But he was under such a strain that he's actually had found like a rock, and he's actually kneeling before the rock. And there's such a burden, there's such a strain in his life that he's sweating. Yeah. And he's under such stress that there's actually the blood capillaries in his body. It's a medical condition of someone that's under such great distress. The blood capillaries will actually break and seep into the sweat glands. And so that's where the term sweating blood comes from. And he was literally under such a strain that the capillaries had seeped into the sweat glands. And he was actually sweating drops of blood. And he's there in the garden. And we can hear him. way. Don't make me drink this cup. The commitment program. Maybe some other means that it could be accomplished. Because you see, ever since he was a little boy, going into the cities, he had saw crucifixions. He had passed, no doubt, thousands, hundreds, I don't know. He had seen hanging on the side of the road because Rome liked to make a sport out of them. Rome liked to hang them up so you could see, you mess with Rome, this is what you'll get. They wanted everybody to fear them, and they made the crucifixion so horrible. And even as a child, going into the cities, he had saw men hanging on a cross, and he knew what laid ahead of him. He knew the agony, he knew the anguish, and remember the anointing left him in the garden. Father, if there be any other way,
yes.
Don't make me drink this cup.
Amen.
He gets up, he goes to Peter. He wakes Peter up. He said, Peter! Peter wakes up. What is it, Lord? He sees Jesus. He never saw him like that before. He saw him heal the sick. He saw him raise the dead. He saw him walk on water. But now he's seen Jesus under such distress and sweat and blood is coming from his face. And he wakes him up. He says, Peter, he said, my Lord, what is it, Lord? I've never seen you look like that before. What is it, Lord? What's going on? Is that blood? Are you bleeding? Peter, watch. Pray, Peter.
Amen.
Help me pray. What shall I pray? What am I supposed to pray? Stay with me, Peter. Help me pray. I'm wrestling with this. It's the only time in the Word you'll ever find Jesus ever wrestled with his own will. He always said, not my will, let thy will be done, that thy will be done. I come to do the will of my Father. All that my Father showed me, that will I do. I'll do nothing less. But what he was always talking about, the will of the Father, the will of the Father. But this is the only place in the Scripture that he was ever wrestling with his own will, because it was coming down to the final moments of his life on the earth, and he had to make a choice whether he would go to Calvary or not. About that time in Gethsemane, there was a conference, the prophet said. A terrible conference was called. All at once, Gabriel came down with his great sword, the prophet said, standing by his side. Here come one wood down on another rock. Other angels begin to come down and sit on the rocks around the garden. And the prophet of God said, then the Holy Spirit of God, as we've seen in the picture of Gethsemane, that light which God is light, Elohim, the self-existing one, he came down into his presence. And hanging there, a conference was called in the Garden of Gethsemane as he was wrestling it out. And the Father said, what do you want to do, son? What do you want to do? I'll take you right now without a Calvary. You can go right now. You can speak one word, turn the world upside down. We'll stop the whole program right now. Everything will be annihilated. Everything will be wiped off, but you can go with me. No suffering, no dying, no rejection, no humiliation. You can go with me. What do you want to do? A conference was called, and about that time the devil began to speak to him too. And the devil said, do you think it's really fair? Is it really fair that you, that the sins of all the world would be placed upon you? Is it really fair that you should bear their sins? Is it really even right? Do you think they'll even care? Do you think 1,000 years from now they'll even care that you suffered in Calvary? Do you think they'll even care that you sweated out? Do you think they'll even remember? You think it'll mean anything to them? I want the devil to know this morning, 2016, it still means something to me. Yes, sir. It still means something to me. Conference was called. The Father was talking to him. The devil was talking. It was just like he does us, friends. When we wrestle it out in our Garden of Gethsemane, he was wrestling it out. What do you want to do, son? I'll take you right now. What's it going to be? What's the results? The angels are listening. The whole world is upon your shoulders. Do you want to pay the price? What do you want to do? You can come right now without death. There lays Calvary before you. They'll spit in your face. They'll take you to Calvary. All these things. You'll die in agony with a crown of thorns on your head. Your blood will be drained out. Every drop of your blood. They'll not stop until they get every drop of your blood. Like a bunch of grievous dogs. They will, like wild dogs, they will ravish your flesh. They will not stop until they make an example out of you. They will mar you more than any man's face had ever been marred before. Every bone you have will be out of joint. There will be such excruciating pain. There will be such agony. There will be such humiliation. There will be such rejection. Are you willing to pay that price? You don't have to. You can go right now with me if you want to go. Just state the word. I'll take you right now without Calvary. What is your choice? The Lord talking to him. The Father talking to him. The Satan talking to him. What will you do? You'll die in your crown of thorns. They'll take the other, drain the blood from your body. You will be poured out like water. You will be like a drink offering. They will pour you out on the ground. Every drop of your blood will be poured out on the ground. He was a young man, only 33-something year old, just young in life. He didn't have to die like that. He didn't have to die. But when he seen the lost humanity, when he looked around, he seen the condition. And the Father said, are you willing? Is your love for your brethren great enough? Is your love for that sinful, stinking world that you were born in? Do you love them enough to forfeit your life? Do you love them enough to take their place, to bear their sins, the horriblest, cruelest death that there could ever be? Nothing could die like that kind of death but him. And in that conference, such a decision was made until the blood dropped from his brow. He was under a strain that the sins of the world was upon him. Because why? He went to Calvary as a man. He knew he would feel every slap. He would feel the spit. He would feel every stripe. He would feel the nails when they drove him in his hand. He knew he would experience it. Because how could he be a faithful high priest if he couldn't enter into our suffering? He would know what it was to hurt. He would know what it was to be rejected. Come on, somebody. He would feel it. When you all bow that brother down, nobody loves me. Nobody cares for me. I feel forsaken. None of us has ever been forsaken like he was. Oh, hallelujah. He took everyone. He bore every burden. He bore every feeling. The sickness of the world, the sins of the world, the disease of the world, back pain, neck pain, eye pain, shoulder pain. He bore it in his body. At one time, how could anyone bear that? You see the price he paid this morning, friend. You say, brother, there, I've got a pain. You may have a pain. I don't doubt that. I've got a pain this morning, too. I was up all night with my back, that crazy sciatic nerve running down my leg. I know what sciatic nerve pain is. It'll about drive you crazy. But when I think about it, on that cross that day, he felt that sciatic nerve pain. He felt that fire go out his toes. He felt it go out his fingers. He knew what it was. And he bore it that I could be free this morning. Amen. There had to be an atonement. There had to be an atonement made. In his body, the man Jesus, he was made a sacrifice. He was willing. He submitted himself to death. I want you to understand that this morning. God gave him the choice. And he chose Calvary. Amen. You know, he had a post of duty. He had an obligation. Let me tell you something. We have an obligation to each other. Yeah. When I was in the Army, I was with the 18th Airborne Corps. Brother J.D. Whitson, some of these brothers that was in combat, they're my heroes. Those guys in battle, the things that they seen, I just admire men like that. I never had to go to combat. But I was in a combat unit, and we constantly trained. I was with the 18th Airborne Corps at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, field artillery, to be anywhere in the world, 24 hours, ready to fight. For some reason, I thought that's the unit I needed to be in. I don't know why I thought that. I joined up for that. But Terry, why didn't I join the Air Force? What was I thinking? But we had a band of brothers, and Brother J.D., some of these brothers, they can tell you about it. It's a code among soldiers. We have a code, a band of brothers, that we leave no brother behind on the battlefield. There's any way possible to get our wounded, to get our dead. A many a good man was shot. A many a good man was killed trying to bring a body off the field because we stood together as one. We bore one another's burdens all night. And if a bunch of men coming from the different parts of the country would come under a bond, under a unit of a combat unit, and would come under that banner, how much more ought you and I, under the banner of Jesus Christ, that we are a band of brothers. We bear one another's burdens. We carry one another. We need each other. He looked, he seen the state of man. He was willing to do it. He was willing to do it because he saw, if I don't do it, Terry can't be helped. If I don't do it, Keith cannot be helped. If I don't do it, the blind will never see, the lame will never walk. I must bear it. Amen. He said he was willing to do it. He said, no man takes my life. No man takes my life, but I lay it down. Pilate said, come here, let me help you. I don't want to kill you. You're a good man. I find no fault with you. Let me help you. Let me give you something to give me. I'm Pilate. I can say this and they'll do it. I can say that and they'll do it. Give me something to help you with. I can do something. I can do something for you. Jesus looked at him. You know what he said? You have no power over me at all, but what my Father will let you have. For this cause was I born. This is why I came to the world. I don't need your help. I'm in the will of my Father. Amen. Through that sacrifice of Calvary, he knew he would fulfill the scriptures, that he would be the drink offering. He would be the one that was poured out. You see, he had faith and he had power. He said, I can do nothing in myself, but he relied upon what he was. He relied in knowing that he was the Word, and he had faith in God who made him the Word. Amen. He was God, the Word. Therefore, he knew he was the one David spoke of. He knew he was the one that the prophet spoke of. He knew, that's me. This is who I am. That's why he said, the story that's tippling 3 days, I'll raise it up. How could he say such a thing? Because he knew David was not talking about himself. David saw corruption. David was in a tomb. He knew David was speaking in prophecy of him when he come. I'm the one David saw. It's me. That's why he stood there in the temple, as we said last night. And he said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. It's me. This is the hour. This is the time. This is the day. He knew he was the fulfillment of the prophets. He knew he was all that the prophets spoke of. He knew he was the only one that could fulfill the drink offering. He knew he was the only one who could be that sin offering. Nobody else could do it. Everybody else was born in the bondage of sin. Everybody else was born through a sex act. But he came by a virgin birth and he realized, I am the only one. It's all down to me. It comes and everything lays upon me. If I go, they can be secure. If I go, they can be well. If I go, they can be redeemed. If I don't, they'll perish. And the weight of the whole world, the decision was upon him. You see the price he paid for you this morning. I tell you, you think you ain't got no friend. You ain't, you've got a friend. You just don't know what kind of friend you really do have. Amen. He knew that. He knew he was the only one that could fulfill that drink offering, that sin offering. By the words of the prophets, he knew. As we said last night, we read that quote where Reverend said, how did he bring Christ here? By the words of the prophets. He came by the words of the prophets. He came. So everything they spoke, they were speaking of him. That's why Moses said, the Lord your God shall raise up a prophet like unto me. He knew. David knew. Daniel, they knew. Joseph knew. They were typing it out. It was Christ. It was all pointing to him. When he come. Therefore, he knew, and knowing that he was all that the prophet spoke, he knew in Genesis 35, he knew when Jacob took that wine and oil and poured it upon the rock as a drink offering, he knew that Jacob was speaking of him.
Think about it.
It's the first time in the Bible that the drink offering's ever mentioned. It's when God came down and changed Jacob's name from Jacob to Israel, and he talked with him. And Israel, he took a rock. He took a pillar, took a rock. Because he slept on it, a pillar, he slept upon it, and he took that rock and made it a foundation. He made it a cornerstone. This will be the cornerstone. This place right here, I'll call this place Bethel. He said, I'll call it Bethel, where God talks to man. For God came down and talked to him. He said, this will be the house of God. This will be the dwelling place of God. And let me say, so is Bethlehem today. Every true born again believer is born in Bethlehem, the house of God. There's where God comes, at God's provided place. The place where God puts his name. Amen. That place where God places his name. That's the place that God will meet man. That's the place that God will speak to man. In Bethlehem, in Bethel, the house of God, where God and man commune together. What is communion? Fellowship. What is it? Fellas in the same ship. That's what Calvary done. That's what the body done. That's what the tabernacle done. That's what the cornerstone is, the outpouring of the drink offering, all of it. What is it? It's securing our fellowship. It's bringing us back to that house, the house of God. Not just this building here, but this building here, the house of God, where God in command can commune together, where heavens and earth is united once again. Oh, hallelujah. Bethlehem. I met God here. I've talked to God here, and he got him a rock. He didn't perhaps didn't even know what he was doing, but he was tapping out Christ. He got him a rock. Then he took him some wine, and he poured the wine out on the rock. And then he took some oil, and he poured the oil out on the rock. What was he doing, friends? Setting the pillar up, setting a stone up in its place. Poured the drink offering of the wine. Then he poured the oil all over it. What was he doing? What was it symbolizing? Jacob was prophesying. He was prophesying about the sacrifice of Jesus. For he would come and he would, like the wine, he would be the cornerstone. Christ, is he not the cornerstone? He would be that cornerstone. Oh my, what did he do? He pulled up that cornerstone. That's the basis, the foundation. That's the word. He was that word. And the revelation of who Christ is. That's the stoner. That's the stone. That's the revelation. That's what we're based on. That's what we live by. Is that revelation. Not what he was, but what he is. The world can see what he was, but they can't see what he is. But we see what he was. We see what he's going to be. But we see now. Why? Because we are a part of that stone. That confession. That revelation. Poured the oil. He poured the wine. He poured the oil. An offering on a stone. Amen. He just didn't find any stone, but he used the stone he was sleeping on. Set it up to make an altar. It was a pillar, a cornerstone. To make a sacrifice. What was he prophesying about the sacrifice of Jesus by his actions? For the Bible tells us that Jesus is the cornerstone. The drink offering of wine symbolizes Jesus' blood that he poured out for us. What was he doing? He was showing that there would be a time that God once again would commune with man in a dwelling place, in a tabernacle, where God and man can meet through Christ. We can be reconciled back to God. We who was alienated by one man's disobedience, but now by the obedience of Christ, we can be reconciled back to the economy of God, back to the house of God, that God can come down and speak to us. Drink offering of the wine symbolizes Jesus' blood that was poured out for us. After the blood came the oil, which symbolizes the Holy Spirit. What did he do? He poured that oil into us. For the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, we have all been made to drink into one spirit. He poured out the life as in the blood. And he poured out his blood as a drink offering. And when the blood cell was broke, it released that life so that that life he lived by could now come back upon the believer. Amen. Jesus knew that Jacob was prophesying of him, that he would be that drink offering. He understood by the words of the prophet that Aaron also was prophesied about Jesus, that the blood sacrificed by his actions, like Jacob had, the Lord ordered Aaron to pour out. Listen to this. The Lord ordered Aaron to pour out a quarter of a hin of wine and a quarter of a hin of oil over the sacrificial lamb. He told Aaron and said, I want you to take a quarter of a hin of oil and a quarter of a hin of wine and pour it out over the lamb. And Aaron, in obedience to God's instructions, he did that. He took and poured the wine out and he poured the oil out over the sacrificial lamb. And he knew that when he was doing that, Because every symbol, every piece of furniture, everything was speaking of Christ. Everything they was doing was speaking of Christ. And Christ knew he was the fulfillment of that. So what Aaron was doing that day, he was doing it in type of when Christ come, he would be that one. He would be that drink offering. He would be that lamb. God told him, he said, you take the lamb. Listen, to pour a quarter of a hin of wine. Now they believe a quarter of a hin of wine. They believe it to be between 5 and 7 liters of wine. So they would take between 5 and 7 liters of wine and pour it out over the lamb. Now anybody that's ever been in medicine knows that the human body, there's between 5 and 7 liters of blood in the human body. When he hung on the cross, he spilled out. His inner one. He poured out of his body. Don't you see his blood? His blood was taking our blood. His blood was taking our place. He poured out himself. Not just a little bit, not just a cut on the finger. Well, I got a cut. No. He poured it all out, Brother Jerry. God said, do you know they'll empty your blood? But they had to empty his blood because he was the drink offering. He would be poured out. His blood would be given. That we could set her this morning free. He poured out of his head. He poured out of his head the blood for us. Amen. Aaron was showing in time that he was our drink offering. The drink offering was included with the burnt offering and the grain offerings. God ordained these sacrifices. And they was born. The drink offering was poured out with these. Oh, speaking of Christ. The blood of Jesus spilling on the cross. Jesus spoke of it directly in Luke 22:20 when he instituted the new covenant. He picked up a cup of wine and he said, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Jesus' sacrifice was fulfilling the need of a drink offering. He was fulfilling that need. His blood literally being poured out when the soldiers pierced him in the side. His blood gushed from his body. Why? He was that drink offering. Because he knew the blood of an animal. Are you still with me this morning? He knew the blood of an animal could not come back upon the believer. That's why God told him not to drink the blood of an animal. Because that life of that animal could not come back upon the human. We didn't need animal life. We needed a pure life. We needed a holy life. We needed a God-like life. Amen. And God said, don't drink the blood of an animal. Pour it out upon the ground. But here come Christ, the Lamb of God. And what did he say? Eat my flesh. Drink my blood. Why? Because he was that covenant. He knew that that sacrifice would have to be blood. It would have to be pure. It would have to be a kinsman. He knew by the prophecy. He was the word. He was the drink offering. He was the rose of Sharon. He knew he was the lily of the valley. He knew that. He knew the rose of Sharon was speaking of him. The lily of the valley was speaking of him. He was all that the prophet spoke of. He was the fulfillment of that. Now we take showers, and that's good, that's real good. And we put on perfume, and that's real good too. And if you don't, please do. Because we want to smell good. We want to be pleasing when we're in the midst of people. We don't want them to be offended by our smell. Is that all right? And so people like women, you know, my girls, and they put on this stuff, it smells so good. It smells nice. It smells comfortable. You know what I'm saying? How many knows what I'm saying? You look at it. If you don't, come and see me and I'll tell you what they buy. But man said a woman puts that on because she wants to smell pleasant. A man puts on aftershave and stuff sometimes like that. The odors are foul. So that the odor's taken away from us. Think about this for a minute. When you walk into the presence of someone with body odors or some another, the perfume is to take the odor away. so that you in the presence of that person might not be foul, that you might not be unbearable. You see, because of my sins, I stunk. I was unbearable. I smelled like a dirty bathroom. Come on, friends, it's true. We stunk in his nostrils. And we had no way to take that away from us. I had nothing that I could wash myself in that would take that away from me. But here come him, the lily of the valley and the rose of Sharon. A sweet smelling Savior. Oh God, think of it. In order for the rose of Sharon to get the perfume out, in order to get that fragrance, in order for it to be released, it had to be crushed. Here comes Jesus. He was the antitype of the type. The rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. That's who he was. He was beautiful. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. His life was never compared with. He was beautiful. But to make you, listen to this quote, but to make you like he was. To make you like he was. He was so beautiful, so pure, so righteous. And he wanted me, Brother Larry, to be like that. Think of it. And the only way that I could ever, I would have to have something I could wash myself in. Something that would take the odor of sin away from me. And he knew he was that soap. He was that bleach. He was that perfume. And so he knew, I will go to Calvary and they will crush my life. And I will be poured out like water. Why would he do that? To make me like him. Amen. He wanted me to be like him. Amen. God looked down upon him and said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. God told him, said, your sacrifices have become stink under my nose. But this one here, I'm well pleased. To make us well pleased to God. To make us well pleased to God. He had become crushed at Calvary. He had to become crushed at Calvary. And the sin of the world had to be squeezed out of the life out of him. And he died bearing the sins of the world that he might be the atonement. That he might be atoned with the rose of Sharon. Do you see what he did? In order for us to be like him. God said, this is whom I'm pleased to dwell. And in order that God would have someone else that he would be pleased to dwell in, he could never dwell in us in that sinful condition. He could never dwell with us in that way. So what did he do? He got that one Christ, that perfect one, the rose of Sharon. And he took him to Calvary by his will. And he surrendered his will to the Father. And he took him to Calvary and he crushed his life and released the perfume, released the bleach and washed us and brought us to a place that God, that we could be Bethel. We could be the house of God's dwelling place, that God could come down once again and be pleased. He would be pleased to do. Don't you understand this morning? The price he paid for you. Well, Brother Dow, nobody loves me and nobody ever calls me and nobody ever sends me a note and nobody texts me. But if you can only see this morning just how much you're loved of the Father. Look at the price he was willing to pay to secure our fellowship, to have us into this place, that he would be pleased to come and dwell with us. He was the lily of the valley. He was wounded for our transgressions, a sweet smelling Savior. By his stripes you were healed. The lily of the valley, to give us the opium, because opium comes from the lily. And he crushed his life to release to us the euphoria of being a Christian. The stimulation that comes with the revelation that I was once a sinner, but now I'm saved. I was once blind, but now I see. I was once lame, but now I walk. The stimulation of, ha! Hallelujah. The opening of the lily of the valley. When the times of hard and depression, we can go to the lily of the valley and we can get a shot from the lily. We can get a shot from the opium that he died, that life that was leased to him. And through that life, we overcome death, hell, and the grave. Being trying to drown their problems out with alcohol. They try to drown it out with drugs. A pill to go to sleep. A pill to get up. A beer to drink after work. Trying to drown out some past condemnation. Something that they've done in their life. But let me tell you, we don't need Budweiser. We don't need, come on somebody. We don't need marijuana. We don't need meth. We don't need prescription pills. We got the lily of the valley. We got the opium. Yes, sir. He's my healer. He's my joy. He's my strength. He's my security. He's my everything. Yes, sir. When I'm down, he picks me up. The world tells those things. They've rejected the lily. They've rejected him, but he is my rose of Sharon. That when God smells... When God smells like a bouquet, we're different colors, different sizes, different skin colors. We're God's bouquet. And when God, Easter morning, it's springtime, all the flowers. Oh, we all look so pretty. My wife made me wear this morning. All of our pretty colors. It's like a bouquet. And God has come down and... It smells so good. It smells so good. Because you see, when he breathes in, he don't smell me. But he don't smell us. He don't smell our weaknesses. He don't smell our failures. He don't smell our mistakes. But he smells our sacrifice. He smells our lamb. Hallelujah. He smells the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. God said, that's him. That's her. Hallelujah. He was a drink offering. He was a drink offering that David poured out. David up there that day. Philistine army around him. Saul trying to kill him. Philistines trying to kill him. He's up there sitting in a cave, yet anointed to be king. David looked down upon the well of Bethlehem and he said, oh, what I wouldn't give for one drink from that well. I remember when I was a boy, I remember laying up there on that well, falling into that thing, just sucking in the water. I'd drink to my belly about bust. I remember watering my lambs. I remember the experiences of God. I remember the blessings of God sitting around that well. And David was up there separated from that well. He could look down there and see it. Maybe that's the way you are. Maybe you were drunk from this blessed well, this Pentecostal blessing, this Pentecostal water. Maybe you got cold on the Lord. Maybe something's come into your life. It's caused you to drift apart. But I want you to know the well is still here this morning. The water is just as fresh as morning. It's just as real this morning. It's just as reviving this morning. Oh, Brother Darrell, I've got water. I've got this. But it's stagnant water. There's wiggle worms in it. It'll do you no good. But there is a well. There is a well in Bethlehem that we can drink from the water this morning. And David said, what I wouldn't give. What I would not give for a drink from that well. And some of David's boys were sitting around the camp. And they heard David as he come by them. They heard him say, oh God, just had a drink of that well. I could taste it. It's so good. Amen. One of them jumped up. So I got a sword. Let's go get David a drink. So he took his sword. He had one of them big ones. And the other one grabbed his sword. And they looked around to their buddy. He had a bucket. Is that a bucket? Yes, it is. Rather nice bucket. But see, here's the point I'm trying to make. Maybe God ain't called you to carry one of them big swords. If God's called you to carry a sword, carry a sword. But if God's called you to carry the bucket, carry the bucket. You see, it don't matter as long as we're doing something for God. That's the thing that matters. Two of them had a sword. One of them had a bucket. Oh, Brother Darrell, I don't know about that. How could even a bucket? What's that got to do with anything? Well, let me ask you something. How'd they carry the water? They had to have that bucket. Somebody had to do it. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. You've got something to do, every one of us. God's gave us something to do. Do it with the best of your ability. Here they went down through that camp there. 15 miles of Philistines. They fought through the camp. Well, I could see them just... That one carrying the bucket. Swing, boy, swing. They got over to the well. They was fighting them off, you know. He was looking at that well. They said, would you get the water? Get the water. He swept up a bucket of water. Here they went 15 miles back. Oh, I'd like to be down at that Philistine camp. First Sergeant. First Sergeant reporting. What is it, sir? What is it, Captain? Captain, First Sergeant reporting. What is it, son? What's going on? What's going on? Sir, there's been an attack. David's men has attacked us down at Bethlehem. Is that right? Yes, sir. It's been an attack. How bad? Bad. Real bad. First reports are in. They've already took 15 miles of our garrison. My God. How many are they? Well, there's a... I'm sorry, I misunderstood you, First Sergeant. Did you say that that was 3,000? No, sir. 300. 30? There's three. 3 of David's men, and they've already took 15 miles of our best soldiers. These were special forces guys. These weren't Boy Scouts on a picnic. These were soldiers. 15 miles of our best army. They've already took 15 miles of our best army. What kind of weapon do they have? What has David got over there? What is he using? Well, sir. Well, sir, two of them's got a sword. And one of them... One of them's got a bucket. I'm sorry, I misunderstood you. Did you say one of them had a rocket? No, sir, it wasn't a rocket, it's a bucket. But it's an awesome bucket. My God, you ought to see him swing that thing. Oh, hallelujah. I want the devil to know I may not be a great preacher. I may not be a big preacher. But if I'm just a little cup, if I'm just a nickel, I'm going to be the best nickel I can be. I'm going to be the best, sir. That's going to be every one of our desire to be the best that we can be. They come rushing back up to David, and they brought the water to David because they knew that David wanted a drink for their king. David said, I'm not worthy to drink water, that men would sacrifice their blood. I am not willing that men would be willing to give their blood to drink water like that. And the Bible says that David took the water and he poured it out upon the ground as a drink offering unto God. Oh, he refused to drink it himself. He poured it up on the ground for a drink offering. The prophet said how fitting that was for John 3:16, when God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus, the Prince of Life, come here. He didn't have to die. He conquered death himself and poured his own life blood out upon the ground. Amen. As an offering for our sins. He's our spitting rock upon that ground. His precious God-given blood. David said, I'm not willing, I'm not worthy to drink this. But there was coming one, he done it in the time that there would be a worthy one, hallelujah, by the name of Christ, and he would be that drink offered, and he would pour himself out upon the ground, and he would be the way back for us, that we could enter back into fellowship with God again. Someone that was willing to pay the price. Someone that was willing to be obedient. Someone that was willing to deny themselves to secure our fellowship this morning. Amen. He poured his life out. He poured it out. He forfeited that life to live the way he lived. God gave him that life. But he poured it out up on the ground from his veins. His natural life. Leaving his body that day at Calvary. As a drink offering. Just give me a few minutes. We'll close. What do you want to do? You're the virgin born son. Virgin born sinless son of the living God. You're the one the prophet spoke of. You're the drink offering. You're the sacrificial lamb. You're the one David spoke of. Daniel spoke of. Joseph spoke of. What do you want to do? Will you deny yourself and fulfill the word that's promised for your day? Will you come under and realize who you are and your purpose for being on the earth and submit to that purpose? What do you want to do? Are you willing to yield yourself to be a drink offering, to be poured out? You see, the only way to save us was to embrace the cross, to take the crushing. That was the only way. Amen. And at that crucial moment there, when he said, not my will, let thy will be done. The angels begin to pour him out a blessing and prepare him for Calvary. The Bible says, for the joy that was set before him. What joy? What joy? What joy could there be in having your bones dislocated in your body? What joy could there be to have thorns drove into your head? What joy could there possibly be to suffer, to go into convulsions till they'd have to nail you to the cross to keep your body on it because of the convulsions and the spasm of the body as it was dying? They would actually rip themselves off the cross, so they drove the nails into the palm of their hands right here between that bone to keep them on the cross, because if they drove it into the flesh, it would just rip out under the convulsions. So they would drive it there and anchor it in against that bone and nail it on the backside and clench that nail to keep them on the cross. You see him there, friends. How could there be joy in that? But he said he embraced the cross for the joy. What joy? What joy? That was set before him. He embraced the cross. I say to you this morning, that joy is us. For us. For our salvation. That's the prize. That's the price. That's what he got. He done that. Your reward for doing that. He got me. He got you. That was his reward. The prize that made it all worthwhile. That's why he was willing to suffer the shame, so that we could make it into his kingdom. He endured the cross so that we would be given eternal life. This is the joy that's set before him, that he could share the life he possessed with us. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to share what he had with you. For the joy. In 1995, on Easter Sunday, my mama and my daddy, they're both gone now. Me and Cheryl and Jessica and Uncle Calvin and Aunt Ruth was in a flower garden in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Jessica was in a wheelchair. She had no control over her body. She was blind. And we went out to have Easter service there at the hospital. We rode her out into that little rose garden. Oh, that Easter Sunday. Her little glasses on, her little sunglasses, because she was blind and she couldn't see. So we had these little glasses on her eyes, and we had her in a wheelchair that supported her neck, it supported her body, it supported her legs, because she had no control. And we rode her out there into that garden. But for the joy of seeing her get up. Hallelujah. For the joy of seeing her get up out of that chair. For the joy of seeing her take off the glasses and see again. For that joy of a blind child seeing, of a blind child seeing, of a lame child walking, of a cancer being healed. For that joy to see you happy, to see you free, to see you rejoicing, to see you sitting here. For that joy, he endured the cross. He done it for me. He done it for you. He knew, I will be this drink offering. I will pour myself out. I will be the way. That's why he said. That's why he said, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last days. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the Father hath sent me, even I live by the Father, so he that eateth me shall even live by me. He was saying, I'm life. Eat me. I have made a way. I have become that sacrifice. I am that sacrifice for you. I am that meal offering. I am that sin offering. I am that drink offering. Come and partake of me. Come and partake of me, that you may live, that we can live together. Amen. For the same word that speaks of me will speak of my bride. I've done this to secure you back to my side. I'm the word. I've done this to show you you're the word. I come to you because you're the word. I brought you back to that thought, that attribute, that seed gene that God had in his mind of you before the foundation of the world. I brought you back to that place that the hybrid faith can be broke off of you, that you can realize I'm not saved because God felt sorry for me, but he actually came to redeem me because I was always his. I always belonged to him, and he came to bring me back. He came to bring me back to himself. I am poured out like water. I am poured out like water. And you see him this morning as we start to come to close. Just look at him just for a minute. But now his head's swollen twice the normal size. His eyes swollen shut from where they beat him. His body is shaken with convulsions as hypovolemic shock begins to set into his body. He has sweated. He has wept. He has bled until literally all the fluids of his body has been poured out. That's why he said, I am poured out like water. Because of the loss of such fluid, the body goes into a condition known as hypovolemic, low volume shock. All the moisture in your body will go to keep the vital organs alive. Just like when someone hunts, you get cold out hunting, your feet and your hands get cold. It's because when you get cold, the heat will go to the core of your body to keep the vital organs alive, because the body will live. It'll give away fingers, it'll give away toes in order to live. And the same way when a person goes into hypovolemic shock, all the fluid that remains is pulled into the vital organs of the body to try to keep the vital organs alive. So the first thing that leaves is the saliva from the mouth. Because such a loss of volume of fluid, his mouth was so dry. That's why he said, my tongue cleaves to my jaw. And yet in that condition, when the thief on the right asked him to remember him, even in that condition, when his mouth was so dry he couldn't spit dust, he raised up and said, this day you will be with me. And there on the cross, in that condition, you see now, it's down to the very minutes of his life. It's down now. It's just almost over. The darkness is beginning to move in upon him. It's funny how death is. The other day when I stood there beside my daddy's bed, watched him draw his life, last breath, watched the life begin to leave his body. That's the way Jesus was, because after all, he was God and man. So his death began to set in on his body. He was now in the final hours of his life, just hours, just minutes away on the cross. He's swollen. He's beaten. He's rejected. They spit up on him. Life is leaving his body. He says, be not far from me. They just look at me. But nobody will help me.
Think about it.
The lamb bleeding. The lamb crying. Dying on the cross. Our drink offering. And as his life, his heart begins to get slower and slower. He says, I'm thirsty. I thirst. I'm so thirsty. Come on, big boy. I've got nothing left. I've given everything. I've held nothing back. I have been a faithful and a true sacrifice. I never kept anything for myself. I gave everything. For you. He said, I'm thirsty. Help me. Help me. But you see, they grabbed some vinegar. They tried to give him some vinegar. But he didn't drink it. He didn't drink it. Because that couldn't soothe the thirst that he had. What he was longing for was such a deeper meaning than just fluid that would go into his body. But what he was actually longing for, that drink that he was wanting, was a fellowship. He would look ahead in time. Knowing that that life that he would give up, because remember, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, I give it to you. And on the day of Pentecost, he sent that same life back down to the church and birthed the church at Pentecost, that they may bring back to Jesus what he was longing for, the price of Calvary. He was now longing for that. I paid the price. I long for the drink. He endured the cross. He endured the suffering for the joy that was set before him, that through his life that we could be like them, that we may be satisfied, that we could be the satisfaction, that we could be the satisfying portion of the longing of his heart. Jesus crying, bring me a drink. Bring this life back to me. And on the day of Pentecost, that life came back down to the church. And now, friends, as we come to a close, what's more, that life that he lived, that wine, the oil, the Holy Spirit, that we have all partook of that. Now we, what can we do for him? He who done such a price for us. He, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. He that was crushed that we could be aroma. He that was crushed that we could enter back into this fellowship. What can we do back? We also can become a drink offering. We can pour our lives back out to him. We can pour our lives back out to him. Paul said, my departing is at hand. I'm now ready to be offered up. Paul said, I'm ready to be poured out like water. I'm ready to give. I've kept the faith. They reject me. They beat me. They throw me in prison. But Paul said, I kept the faith. I did not stagger away from it. I did not walk away from my responsibility. And I say to us this morning, let us not either. Let us take this responsibility that he secured this fellowship for us. He secured this position for us. He secured this place for us this morning. Then let us take it with all reverence and let us take it with all commitment among us, that we will strive to give back to him that very life he gave to us. A drink offering. to bring it back to Him, to satisfy that longing, to satisfy that longing. To have that true fellowship. Because the only thing He ever asked the Father for is for our fellowship. Are we willing to do it this morning? This day, this Easter service, what can we give back to Him this morning? We can give back to Him that life He gave to us. By surrendering our lives to take on His life, that we may bring that back to Him. That Calvary would not be in vain this morning. Do you love Him, friends? You know, here a few years ago, Brother Harry come, brothers come to the instruments. A few years ago, in California, there was a train crash out in Los Angeles. The fire station answered the call and they found a man in one of the cabs of the train. The man thought he was dying. And he wanted to leave a note to his wife and to his kids. He wanted them to know how much he loved them. And the story is that when the firefighters found him there, he actually survived the crash, but he thought he was going to die. But when they found him there and pulled him from the wreckage, they noticed on the back of the seat that was in front of him, he had wrote a love note to his wife and to his kids, telling them how much that he loved them and how much they had meant to them. And the firefighters, the story says, was brought to tears when they realized he had wrote that note in his own blood because he wanted to leave a love note. Christ just didn't say, I love you. But he wrote it. He wrote that love to us. In his own blood. Think of it this morning, friends. The Father wrote his autograph upon a cross of shame with a pen divine, all dipped in blood. Forgiven. Forgiven. In Jesus' name. He wrote his life. He wrote his name. Forgiven. In Jesus' name. Do you love Him this morning? That's what Easter means to me, friends. And I see the price that He paid for my fellowship. That I could be the tabernacle that God and man. For that joy to see us healthy, to see us free, to see us happy, to see us young, to see us sitting around His table.
Amen.
Oh, what a love story.
Amen.
What a love story. Let's bow our heads. Oh, Jesus. I love You. I love That's what Calvary says. I love You. I really love You. I love You. Written in I love You. I love You. That's what Calvary says. I love. No, listen to me. I really love. Father, today, Lord,
thank you, Father. I want to thank you from the depths of my heart, Lord, for what you did for me. Lord, we see this morning what Easter means to me. That the sun is up, the price has been paid, the chains have been broke. Oh, life, Lord. Oh, foul odor gone. I'm free, Lord. I'm free, Lord. Father, I've never been a great person. I'm not a smart person, Lord. I've never had a lot of friends. But I remember, Lord, that day I went to witness to those guys that I run around with, Lord, trying to tell them what you'd done for me. And I remember how they laughed at me. I could still hear them laughing when I left the building. My face was red. My feelings was hurt, Lord. I remember just... But I'll never forget that day when I sat there in that car. And you spoke to my heart. And you said, I'll be your friend. Oh, God, I want to thank you this morning for being my friend, Lord. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for going to the cross. Thank you for suffering for me. Thank you for being rejected. Thank you for all that you've done for me, Lord. Thank you today, God. And Lord, may I ain't got no ability, I ain't got no skill, or I ain't got a lot of money. But what I have this morning, I want to give it back to you as a drink offering, Lord. I want to pour myself back out to you today, God. I want to surrender myself to you that you can use me, Lord. Grant it today, Father, I pray, Lord Jesus. Is that the way you feel this morning, friend? Can you see what he done for you? Maybe you're here, you're cold, oh God. You're backslid. Maybe it's just another Easter and you showed up to satisfy somebody. But maybe the word has spoke to your heart this morning. Maybe you can look beyond your failures and your faults and your fears and your complexes and see that bloody lamb hanging there for you. The love that he projected to you. No one could ever love you like he loved you. No one could ever heal you like he healed you. No one could ever forgive you like he, no one could ever do what he could do for you. Can you see him this morning? Maybe you're here. You want to just slip up out of your seat, come to the front. You want to just stand. You want to just, whatever you want to do, however you want to express it this morning. But can you see that lamb on this Easter day? The world is again falling apart and the world is so uncertain. We have a certain witness today. We have a certain sound today. We have a certain word today. If you're here, you're cold, you're backslid on the Lord. I just wonder, you just raise your hand and say, brother, I'm lost can be. I'm lost as a coin in a sand pile. Would there be one here like that this morning? Amen. God bless that hand there. Bless that hand there. Oh God, do you see his friends? Does he mean something to you this morning? That price he means to you today. Would there be one more quickly before we pray? Amen. Oh God, I raise my hand to you this morning, Lord. I want to be more like you, Jesus. I want to be more like you, Lord God. To love like you, Father. To forgive like you, Lord. Grant it today, Lord, those that raised their hands, God. I just ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, may your presence just move upon them today. May they see, Lord, that blood, Lord, that sacrifice, that release, Lord, today from the chains of the enemy. Knowing, Lord, that you break every chain, God. Grant it today, Lord, we pray. We ask these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Do you love him this morning, friends? What can we bring back to him today?
Can we bring back a sacrifice of praise to Him? Can we pour Him out a drink offering today of praise and worship and honor? For He is worthy. He has bore our sins as far as the east is from the west. He has made us free. He has broke our chains. There's power in that name of Jesus today. Can we just stand to our feet? Just raise our hands to Him this morning. Can we just worship Him just for a minute on this resurrection day? The sun is up, friends. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. The sun is up. The drawing power is here today, friends. Whatever you have need of, while you worship Him today, just let that sickness go. Just let that fear go. Just let that habit go. Just let that bondage go today. You can walk away. The chains have been broken. The cells have been opened. The doors have... We are a free people today. You can walk away free. While we worship Him today, don't let the devil tell you about your problem. Don't let the devil, well, it's getting well. The ham will keep, friends. But while we're here just for a minute, it's still early. While we're here just for a minute in His presence, let's just lift Him up in a praise offering, a drink offering unto Him, to pour out our love, to pour out our joy. Just thank Him for what He's done for us today. Amen and amen and amen. Do you love Him this morning? Do you love Him? Hallelujah. 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 I love You, my Lord, with all of my heart. You are my everything. You're the reason I sing. I love You. I love You, my Lord. Oh, let's sing it to Him now. Just you and Him. I love You, my Lord, with all of my heart. You are my everything. You're the reason I sing. I love You. I love You, my Lord. I love You, my Lord. Oh, sing it to Him this morning. Let Him know what He done for you. Thank You, Lord, for Your blessings, God. We just so thank You, Lord Jesus, today. Oh, God.
my heart, Lord. I just don't know how to express what I feel in my heart to you today, Lord. But I just want to thank you, Father God. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for suffering for me. Thank you, Lord, for allowing them to put you into that tomb. Thank you, Lord, for getting up on the third day. Thank you, Lord, for sending me Elijah to restore my heart back to your word. Thank you, Lord, for the great healing campaign that come forth in our generation. Thank you, Lord, for Jessica. Thank you, Lord, for healing our people of cancer, for saving our children. Thank you, Lord, for allowing our wives to stay when the enemy would try to take them. And yet you interceded. Thank you, Lord, for our clothes and our food. Thank you for our car, for this assembly. Thank you, Lord, for our pastor. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us today. We just want to thank you, Lord. We just want to love you, Father. Lord, I just trust something was said to help your people. Just wanted to express my heart, Lord. I pray, Lord, that something was said to help just one person, Lord, that would be drawn closer to you. It's worth all the studying, Lord, and the sweat and all, Lord. We just give it to you now for your glory. Meet each need, Lord, we pray. And as we go out today with our families, Lord, and kept the people long, I'm sorry, forgive me, Father. As we go out to be with our families and today, may we not forget. May we just take just a moment to ponder what you did for us at Calvary and for the resurrection. To open our prison door to say, you're free. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints.
Praise the Lord. Tremendous. Tremendous. Jesus don't want your blood. Jesus don't want an atonement. What he wants is your life poured out as a drink offering. We'll sing this together as we go. Let me give myself away. Give myself away. Sing it for us, Harry.
Give myself away.
Think about it now.
Give myself away.
What for? So you can use me.
Give myself away.
Yes, I do, Lord.
Give myself away so you can use it. Here I am, here I stand, Lord, my life is in your hands. Lord, I'm longing to see your desires.
matter how well you thought that was preached, how beautiful it was put together, the chronology of the types, and how wonderful it was. The greatest compliment you'll give to this sermon today is the way you live it. You can go in the dictionary and try to find such adjectives that would describe how beautifully it was put together and say, wow, that was the best I ever heard Brother Darrell do. All that's well and good, and a preacher likes to hear when the people are blessed. But the greatest compliment can be when we take the word and let it live out of us. Jesus put this well of water inside of us now. What's He want us to do? Give our lives back to Him and let that be poured back out for the very plan of Almighty God. You love Him today with all your hearts. Wonderful, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful to be alive in Christ Jesus? God bless you. As you're going today, eat your meals, whatever things that you have planned for the rest of the day. Please don't forget the reason of the season. It's not about a rabbit. It's about a lamb. It's about a lamb and the lamb's wife. God bless you. Let's go together as we sing it. So enjoyed the word today. So enjoyed the weekend. So appreciate you praying for Carol. So glad she can be back with us. And thankful for the good report of the doctor. We were supposed to be in Switzerland, actually, today. I was supposed to be a part of a convention there this week, but with the circumstances happening the way they did, I just felt like I couldn't leave Carol here. And Brother Darrell heard I wasn't going to go, so he said, I knew he would. I told Carol, I said, you watch him. He'll text me. I wonder if I won't take the weekend. But I feel like we had the leading of the Lord to go just the way it was, don't you? Amen. Just wonderful. So enjoyed it. God bless you. Let's sing it together. Not as just a song, but as a commitment of our lives. If those men were willing to risk their life to fight to that well and back for David, are there any soldiers that's in here today that's willing to give Jesus a good Pentecostal drink of that water? You want to give Him a creed? You want to just give Jesus something out of the cistern of your ideology? Or Jesus wants a fresh drink? Where does He want it from? The lips of His sweetheart. Who ministers to the husband? The wife does. Let's bring Jesus a refreshment today. God bless you. Go in the fear of God as we sing it together. I love you, saints. See you Wednesday night, Lord willing.
Give myself away.
God bless you. Yes, we do, Lord.
Give myself
away. I do, Lord Jesus.
So
you can use me.
Give myself away.
All that I am, all I'll ever be. Yes, Lord,
so you
can use me.
I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself. So you can use me.